to another episode of We the People Radio. We are live this week, and it is July 14th, actually.
Yeah, we played hooky last week.
We did, too. Yeah. It was kind of fun, actually. But this week, we're on to serious topics, and I guess before I forget, I'll tell you, next week is all about China. So we're back to China. So my name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
Bill likes to do it the same way every time.
Yeah, I like to keep it on track here. We get too sideways. That happens soon enough.
You know what? Next week, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to sit here, and then you can...
stare at you?
Yeah, you can do it all. We'll just stare off. Oh, my gosh. So we don't goof around and waste any time because, you know, we have to send Dr. Rapacki $1.87 in order to come on the big show with us.
That's right.
We don't want to waste any of that $1.87.
So actually, my memo for my pay raise got through, and it's been approved.
Yeah, because yes, I think it was $1.86 before, wasn't it?
It was $1.85, if you remember correctly.
Yeah, don't build it into something.
We're going to go back to our complex payroll records.
Thank you, Bill, for putting in a plug.
I
was really upset that other people... I mean, even Stockstill, I'm bringing him on this week, and he came on for the first time a couple of months ago, and he was getting $2, and I'm getting $1.85. This doesn't add up. I don't understand.
And then we made you come on. We were doing Barbarians at the Gate. We made you come on the second time because Jim was busy, so obviously overpaying. It never works. It doesn't even work here. Oh, my gosh. So,
I don't know if I should let that slide. Stockstill, what happened to His Holiness,
Stockstill? I mean, His Holiness,
titles, he shows all the time. Bishops and, the next thing, they're apostles and they're general of generals. Why not His Holiness, Stockstill? I mean, just a thought.
There was a guy out there, they were talking about the, Barry, I don't know what he is now, what is Barry, a big rainstorm?
He's a
hurricane, then he wasn't a hurricane, and he was a storm.
No, it's a storm.
Yeah.
It's raining.
But we were thinking about you. Are you in Louisiana, Jim? Is that where
My physical body is in Dallas eating brisket. My soul is down in Louisiana eating crawfish. So, that's...
May we all be that conflicted.
My bateau is fine here in Dallas. It's
nice.
Filled with water. It's good.
Well... I wondered
Aaron
about
and
that.
Bill, you can take the Cajun out of the swamp, but you can't take the swamp out of the Cajun.
Yeah.
There you go.
We've seen that in some of those interviews. I love those interviews.
In Dallas, didn't you hear what he just said? I said in D.C. just moved me to D.C.
I heard.
So now I'm in the swamp.
All I heard was brisket. Now I'm hungry.
Now Bill's all messed up.
Well, if Dr. Rapacki would tell you the truth, he actually had a 14-hour smoke brisket the other night at my house. So,
yes, Bill,
we did.
It's a good thing I have the car keys, otherwise Bill would be gone. Bill's like, there's time.
Good to hear, Bill.
He's got one of those Traegers, and so he's like, I got to get one of those really big briskets and do it. And so we're constantly, every time we're at a meat market, he's holding the brisket up. We just need
I think Emma Lagasse said one time, you cut brisket up, put it on a bumper, and somebody will eat it.
So much for that pork chop tied around their neck. I guess we've moved on. Got higher standards now. Well, I thought of you, Jim, because, I was looking at your bio since we haven't had you on for, a while. Let's see, it's been since November of last year, but...
this parole officer only allows him out once every 6 months.
is he on one of those extended ankle bracelets where he gets to go to Dallas?
I just wanted to share that since we're in the circle of trust here, I thought.
Alone. We're alone in the circle of trust, yes.
Yeah, we are. We're all...
It's just us. Just us kids. So for the people who didn't hear Jim before and think we're just going to screw around for 2 hours, which, is always a danger with this group. I don't know. We can only throw Rapacki in the mix, and somehow it all just turns into fun and games. It's like a Seinfeld episode. We just sit around and talk about nothing for 2 hours. We actually did one. We called that Everything But the Kitchen Sink. So if you want to hear that episode, we recorded it already.
I have one for Dr. Rapacki, though. It came as a eureka moment.
Uh-huh.
I was watching Churchill, and he said... I think I can boil an egg because I saw someone do it one time. and I thought of Dr. Rapati right off. That's probably the maximum of what I can expect from him, but other than that, I know that right down the street is a whole slew of restaurants that know him by name.
Oh.
I'll just leave it at that when he makes fun of my brisket or roadkill or whatever we call it at home. So.
Yeah, we had neighbors that used to have the roadkill barbecue. I think it's illegal.
That's live meat almost.
But they did. They had all their family over, and they had a roadkill barbecue. So you guys aren't the only ones that are doing this kind of stuff.
Can I tell you one quick story about Rapati? He took me to a hardware store, like at lawnmowers. And when you walk in the hardware store, they have a whole pen of little chicken things. And I looked at him, I said, well, that's nice. They got snacks on the way in. And, oh, my Lord. And there's a Cajun working in the very, very back. And he thought, Jim, that's repulsive. So I went and asked the guy in the back. I said, what is that up front? Is that not snacks? He goes, all day long. I said, well, there you go.
All day long.
Watch out around Easter. You don't want a Cajun coming in your store if you're selling them little yellow chickens. So I'm just saying.
His bite-sized morsel.
Place is loaded with appetizers. It's unbelievable.
Please don't encourage him, Aaron. Hey, for $2, I got to do everything I can. $2.
I have to feather his nest, as it were. You know. So I guess we should tell people. Let's give people a little background now. Now that we've started like this, people will be like, "What?" Now here's the confusing part. I'm just
There's probably nobody listening anymore.
I'm going to read it right off the page.
Can't take it anymore.
They're like, I hope it gets better than this. So Mr. Jim Stockstill, despite his situation there with the small chickens, is nationally recognized not for the small chickens, but for being a subject matter and security specialist in the area of maritime transportation systems. Confusing. Including but not limited to inland waterways, ports, and the outer continental shelf. He serves on the Intelligence Committee of the U.S. Coast Guard's Gulf of Mexico Area's Maritime Security Committee. Again, people are like, what? Yeah, same guy we're talking to. He holds a secret clearance. That should strike fear into your heart, which allows him to receive intelligence briefings provided they are intelligent and counterterrorism information in matters addressing potential threats to maritime domains. And in contiguous with the United States, I think there's a little piece missing there. I think it's other stuff and contiguous with the United States. And graduated with honors in economics and marketing and chattiness, along with an MBA in international finance. He just threw that in for the heck of it.
I couldn't tell.
Because that's what we all do, right? We goof around and then we go, I think I'll get my MBA in international finance. Now, I don't know if you're still doing it, but served as the district chairman of the Republican Party for the state of Louisiana. So, go Jim.
Only with real Republicans, not the other kind that seems to be filtering into the party.
Yeah, it's kind of like nothing's as bad as what's going on the other side, but our side's got its issues. And then Dr. Lyle Rapati, just in case you've been asleep and have not caught any of the previous shows, he's actually a private sector intelligence, behavioral analysis, and threat assessment specialist. Whew. And I did say that one time fast. Since June of 2010, he's provided select members of the Arizona legislature intelligence briefings on border security and threats to Arizona sovereignty, which is what we usually talk to him about. We talk to him about border stuff. He receives and analyzes and disseminates critical intelligence from and to law enforcement agencies and government communities. He's the author of a dozen white papers, bulletins, and briefings, many of which have received distribution to and by local, state, and federal law enforcement, intelligence, and public safety agencies nationally. Lots of them are posted on our website at wethepeopleradio.us, which I forgot to say at the beginning. And so there you go. Okay, that's all the official stuff, and everybody's pointing to their watch. So I guess we have to take a break. Big panic here. We're going to take our break on time. Ooh.
Wow.
How confusing. Okay, this will be the only one. The rest of the time it won't be on time, so just make note of that over there. We have a new engineer in training. We don't want him to get all sideways. We'll be back with our guests, Jim and Dr. Lyle and Bill and Aaron, and we'll goof around some more and learn some fun things. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
When they move into your neighborhood, they take over for good. soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. Uptown got its hustlers. The Bowery got its bums. 42nd Street got Big Jim. A walker, he a bull shooting son of a gun. Yeah, he's big and dumb as a man can come, but he's stronger than a country horse. And when the bad folks all get together at night, you know they all call Big Jim Ball just because. And they say you don't tug on Superman's cape, you don't spit into the wind, you don't pull a mask off that old Lone Ranger, and you don't mess around with Jim. I don't do that.
Sorry, Lyle. There were no Lyle songs.
Hey, you know, okay. I've got to go out and wash my car. I'll let Jim handle the show. How come I bring him on only two times? He has a song.
He gets
$2 an hour. I'm getting $1.85. I'm sorry, $1.87 has gone up, and I don't have a song. Something's wrong here.
You need to talk to somebody. You have to go petition.
New engineer. Wow.
Yeah, so anyway, we had to throw that in there for you, Jim, before we get to all the serious business of today.
It's the cape that Lyle hangs on to. He's denying it, but he's hanging on with all his might, so, yeah.
you fellers. So we posted some things for you. I think I actually have more things to post that you had sent me, and I will do that while we're chatting here. But, guys, I don't know who wants to lead off with this. You have a big topic today, actually, all goofing off aside.
Well, let me defer to Jim, but before I do, we've had a lot of fun already in the intro, and I hope we haven't lost your listeners, because we're about to take a 180 and go from a Seinfeld show of nothing and frivolity into some pretty serious and heavy matters. So That's why you have to start out with fun. Well, I thank you guys, you and Bill, for allowing us this platform. I think at the end of the show, hopefully people will really be able to ponder what's been said, and they'll play it back on the archives and really ponder what's being said, because we're in some real serious trouble here in this country, far more than the media is laying out or letting people know. And so we've had fun coming into the show, and you guys are always fun. Seriously, this is a great show. It's very entertaining, but it's also very informative. And so now I don't want your listeners to get all upset because we're about to do a 180, like we're schizophrenic, which there may be a little bit of that in us anyway.
Probably already know that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's too late. So with that, how about if Jim goes ahead and leads off, because he spoke the other night, and I think Aaron, I sent out a flyer or an article on Jim speaking to a national ministry, and people all over the nation really responded tremendously positively, wanting more. They want more of what was discussed the other night, and then that leads into what we're going to discuss today.
All right. We'll take it away, Jim.
All right. So,
I'll take it. Aaron, I'm going to try to block this off into two areas. One, that I speak not only from experience which is better than anything else you get, but it's observation and just looking at numbers. So part of it is our founding fathers, where this nation started, what were the principles that this nation started, and you know, we seem to have diverted from that pathway. And then switch over to a part that we work with, and that is Dr. Rapaki, and he works very closely with a general that is under a lot of scrutiny, negative scrutiny, and falsely accused, but they work very closely together on the intel aspect of it. I taught this group the other night, and it's surprising, when people talk about the church, they think of a structure and a building or a denomination. And that's never what the church has been about. The church has been about ordinary people believing in an extraordinary God in this nation. going back to 1607, we just celebrated with the president, and I thanked him and the first lady for the celebration we had on the 4th of July. He, 1776, so we were celebrating 243 years. Well, I told a group the other night, though, is in 1607 is when actually a group of 105 men landed at Cape Henry, Chesapeake Bay area. And one of those aboard was a clergyman. And at that time, this clergyman, and this is just believing what this country should be from a moral character standpoint, that he said, you know, from these shores, the gospel of light will not only light this new world that we're entering, but the entire world. And that was their vision at the time. And then we went further from there to the Declaration of Independence in 1776. And I just talked briefly about that, that of the 56 men that signed the Declaration of Independence, nearly half of them, 24, held seminary or Bible school degrees. And I don't think that you're going to find any civics classes. Actually, I don't know if they teach just civics class or history anymore in schools. And it was surprising to some of these that were listening to know that three of the most quoted sources by our founding fathers were three main sources. The first was the Bible. It's quoted 34% direct quotes by the founding fathers. They talk about their God and God We Trust, which is on still today on our monetary, whether it be hard or paperback. Them being omnipotent means all powerful, all seeing, and kind of beneficent ruler. Benjamin Franklin and then Alexander Hamilton, who became the Secretary of Treasury, said, without the finger of God, this nation never was started. So the Bible was quoted more often than any other, but this was the one I think that surprised people. Is a gentleman by the name of Montesquieu, and he was a political scientist, and a century before, he had quoted Isaiah 33:22, where he says, the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, and the Lord is our king. And James Madison took that in Virginia and said, you know, if God rules that way, why don't we set up our system in federally and statewide the same way? So when you look at the Lord is our king from Isaiah 33:22, that's the executive branch. The Lord is our lawgiver, that's the legislative branch. And the Lord is our judge, which is the judicial branch. And you can see the original intent, and you and Bill and many of the listeners know that the original schools, Harvard, Yale, all of those, were set up to send out missionaries around the world. And now they have completely changed. So we're fighting a battle today, and where are the voices that are standing up on the principles that this nation was founded on, and telling people and reminding them why the 13 colonies, now the United States of America, which is like no other nation in the world, what's happened? We sat back and in our pews and under the Constantine model that he set up in 325 AD, we put one person in charge of the church, and we called him the pastor. Pastors nowadays have to be counselors, they have to be teachers, they have to go to the hospital, they have to do funerals, they have to do weddings, they have to have a family, and somewhere in there, they have some private time, and yet they're all burned out, they're tired, they're exhausted, because that's not the model that was originally set up by the Lord. He had it set up in home churches, and if people want to take a note down real quick, if they look at Matthew 16:18, the formation of that word church is ekklesia, for the Greek translation of it. That is actually a political term. It's not a religious term. Ekklesia is a legislative body, the same way the Roman Senate was, the same way that the Sanhedrin. So when he said, I'm going to set up my legislative body on earth, that's why they became so irritated to him and so irate. If he simply would have said, I'm going to put up a building and talk, they wouldn't have appeared. And then if your listeners want to look at Ephesians 4:11-12, That's the fivefold ministry that was set up that we saw through the book of Acts. And once Constantine needed additional votes and to consolidate his power, he called the Council of Nice in 325 A.D., and he appointed people he could trust as bishops, and he put up them in front of the church. So the fivefold ministry went away, and that's what we have today. So I'll finish out on this point and turn it over to Lyle on some of the intelligence things we're facing, is that you have pastors by the thousands leaving because they're just overwhelmed, they're exhausted. You have lay persons that they're not getting the message of the gospel. They're not getting reminded of why we're here, the founding principles of this nation, you know, are certainly not in heaven today with our political correct environment and triggers and safe space and all the other things that have come along with it. It seems like we've gone crazy. And so that was just the first 10 or 15 minutes of an hour that I had spoke on. But that piece now combined with that society, that there is a very real threat, you know, barbarians at the gate down on the southern border between... look at the deep state, the dark state, and the evil state. And many of the things we talked about the last time on the show about the deep state, these things that have come to light, and these people are going to be exposed for what they conspired. A lot of naysayers said, oh, these guys are just talking. Well, we're seeing that reality happen all the time. And now with a new attorney general, Barr, and I have questions on the FBI leadership. I still think it needs to be changed. But nevertheless, there are some real problems facing this nation, and I know Dr. Rapacki and our general friend and many within the intel community that are true American patriots that love this nation are doing all they can to resist and to fight what's coming up on our southern border, you saw what the Federal Reserve, whenever the last previous administration was in, they never raised rates. I think they've raised them 6 or 7 times, so Their desire is to destroy, borders, devalue the U.S. dollar completely, and then destroy religion so we have a one-world government of all of those things. So, Dr. Rapacki, I'll turn it over to you for further comments. And
true to form, we have to take a break. We have to preempt Lyle here for just 5 seconds. We'll be right back, though. A little celebration of capitalism for 2 minutes, and we'll be back with the boys. We've got Dr. Lyle Rapacki and Jim Stockstill here on We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We go. All right. Dr. Rapacki, it is your turn.
Aaron?
To wow us.
Yes.
Let me, if I can, before you flip it up, the third source that will lead into for Dr. Rapacki, which most people, so you had the Bible, you had Montesquieu, but there was a third person named John Locke, and he was, funny enough, he's a liberal, but he was, known for, he said, when every way of resisting tyranny are exhausted, then you have an appeal to heaven as your final, you know, card. And he called on with George Washington. He liked that so much they put a pine tree on a flag and made it an appeal to heaven. And he says, were the body of people or any single man is deprived of the right or under exercise of power without right, then they have an appeal on earth to heaven. I wrote and says the slogan and appeal to heaven is less dramatic than give me life or give me liberty, but it still was equally forceful, so much that he put it on some six cruiser ships and then all the forts started flying that flag, and it actually became the first flag of the 13 colonies everyone looked at, appealed to heaven because of the evergreen tree. And I say that, part of it is, Dr. Rapacki has written a small book, 27 pages, and I told him he must have written it 27 pages so that men would read it, because it's short and concise, but it's also on our forefathers, and truly an appeal to heaven if any of your listeners would like to get that on Amazon. But so those three surprised people, the most quoted in our founding of this nation were somebody from France, a liberal, and then the Bible. So with that, I'll hand it over to you. Back to you, Aaron.
You know what? That's a good thing for me to add to the website. I will put. I've had the book on there before, but I'll do that right now while we're chatting. And just to point out to people, if you go to wethepeopleradio.us, there is a PowerPoint at the bottom of the page for the day, and actually there's some really great information there. So if you're not catching all the references and you'd like to go back and review it while you're listening or later, or send it to people, go to the July 14th, 2019 program that's being aired today. Scroll down to the bottom of that page and look through that PowerPoint. It's quite good. Okay. It's all you, Lyle.
Is it?
Yep.
Excuse me. Well, what Jim has so appropriately laid the foundation for is the next phase here, which is that we are in a soft civil war. This is not an aggrandizement statement. This is not something I'm saying on radio to excite people. General Mike Flynn, who your listeners know the name of, was the National Security Advisor to President Trump, and they came after him because he was easily to go after on their move to dismantle the Trump administration. The man is not guilty of any of the things that have been said of him, but he has paid a dear price over the last almost 3 years, financially, emotionally, and otherwise. General Flynn, 30-some-odd years in the military, understands war, understands the philosophy, the psychology of war, understands intelligence, having been the National Security Advisor to the President, but also the Director of National Intelligence prior to that, and then in other positions. And Mike and I have discussed this, and Jim, quite a bit as to where we're at right now in this nation, and we're on a pivotal point. We are in a soft civil war, and what I mean by that is we have two sides in this nation that disagree on who runs this country. And the sides can't seem to come together and make a decision. Historically, you can have two sides that disagree with one another, and they go verbally toe-to-toe, and that's why we have elections, that's why we have campaigns. But when you have the election, you come together, and you begin to administer the country. And when you stop accepting the election results, you have really basically where we're at now is a countdown to a civil war. And that's what's happened. The Democrats have stopped accepting anything that President Trump says or does, no matter what it is, because they don't accept the election results of the people. And because of this, what we now have is a fissure that is growing wider and wider. The Mueller investigation was not about anything that's really had gone wrong. It was all prefabricated, it was all made up, but it was basically about removing Trump. And that's what you do in a civil war, or that's what you do when you're doing a coup, and that's what we've had. We've had a coup in this nation, attempted coup, and it's still ongoing. And for the most part, the media is a branch of the Democrat Party, so they're able to cover for the Democrats, and the Democrats are able to use the media. Programs like yours are very few and far between and are going to become even that much more critical in the months ahead as many other places are going to be silenced. We have an entire set of people, both in office, in political circles, and in community circles that do not accept the election results of the American people. They don't accept them. They don't accept the results. They don't accept anything connected to it. And therefore, they don't accept the transfer of power to a new administration. And we've seen that for the last 2.5 years. Now, this isn't dissent, and it's not just mere disagreements. You can disagree with the other party, be it Republican or Democrat, but you come together for the good of the nation. We no longer have that. What we have are Democrats who want things their way, and when they're not their way, they will do everything they can to disrupt, to sabotage, and to collapse whatever is in the best interest of the country so they can return to power, because power is really where it's all at for them. It's not about what's in the best interest of the nation or the people. It's about power. And when you lose power, it's almost like an addict losing his heroin or whatever he's addicted to, alcohol. They become extremely violent. They become extremely self-absorbed in a public fashion, whereas before they're self-absorbed in a more private system or manner. Our government, as Jim was pointing out, is based on our Constitution. And our Constitution was based on Judeo-Christian principles. Our forefathers came together and said, we want a nation like no other nation in the world. That, remember, they left one of the most sophisticated nations in the world, England. And England had a government, but not anything similar to what the United States established. And so what we did through our forefathers was establish a nation under biblical principles that no one has ever seen before or since. Now, some have copied it somewhat, but they have not imitated it to the degree that the United States has written it and put it into practice. And it's that very system that our forefathers put into practice, wrote into our founding documents, that the Democrat Party, the social Marxist parties that are now coming to the forefront, they no longer want, they never have wanted, but they no longer want publicly. Previously, they were more private about it. Now, they're in your face, and they're doing everything they can to undo our system of government.
You know, Rob, can I on that real quick? What I've seen is my parents and their parents were Democrats, and as you said, when you lost, both sides had fought a hard battle, and then they came together for the unity of the nation, and that's what this president's trying to do. But think about what we've seen in the listener. The Democrats now know they can't win an election, so they have turned to the court system. So they tie everything up in court, and they go find a liberal judge. Now they're wanting to change the Electoral College, because now they won't. We can't win in the Electoral College because of a flyover country. So we need to popular vote. Higher education, we're seeing the scandals now where they just, the elite put in the elite so that they continue going to the schools with the best of children from to run the nation. And then the two you finally mentioned is the media and violence. They don't even argue, they just start throwing punches and calling you names, you're racist, and every pedophilia and all the other stuff they can. So, I just wanted to point that their whole tactic has changed, kind of like the Saul Alinsky, but they used to go to the battle box. I mean, you know, the ballot box, the fight is there. Now they just go to the court system and trying to overturn the Electoral College.
Well, and also public opinion. I mean, if you repeat something enough in the public space, people, you know, there's so much going on out there. People hear it enough, they think it's true.
Mm-hmm. No, and you're absolutely right. They can't win it with the way the system is now. So I think long term or even short term, they're trying to change the rules to make the system winnable for them. And
well, look at the taking the citizen. I mean, case in point, take the citizenship question to keep that off the census. And so for the people who haven't gotten the memo yet, it was always on the census till, what, 2010? So this isn't a new thing. Like, suddenly they want to put this on the, you know, they're acting like this is the first time we would have ever had that on the census, which is just a bald-faced lie. But if you tell it a lot, sounds real.
Well, the Democrat philosophy, and they're not the old Democrat Party that most people are acquainted with. Like Jim was saying, his parents, and I'm sure many listeners' parents, maybe even many listeners, they have been taken over by socialist Marxists. And what you have now is a Democrat Party in name, but the philosophy behind it is Marxism. And then it goes even beyond that, if you can imagine, it goes into globalism. What we're really seeing is the advent of a conflict that will be coming, and it's already begun, but it will be coming even more so, to collapse the United States and to move us into a global system where there are no longer national sovereignties. There are global communities.
Well, I don't think anybody's confused about how getting rid of the border fits into that. So we have to take another quick break.
Okay, go ahead.
Since we're still celebrating capitalism, we might as well might as well do it, huh? We'll be back with Dr. Lyle Rapacki and our guest Jim Stockstill. This is We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Well, the eagle's been flying slow, and the flag's been flying low, and a lot of people saying that America's fixing to fall. But speaking just for me, and some people from Tennessee, we got a thing or two to tell you all. This lady may have stumbled, but she ain't never failed. And if the Russians don't believe that, they can all go straight to hell. We're gonna put her feet back on the paths of righteousness, and then God bless America again. And you never did think that it ever would happen again. In America, did you? You never did think that we'd ever get together again. We're damn sure good, you were walking real proud, and we're talking real loud again. In America, you never did think that it ever would happen again.
There you have it. Hey, Lyle, you were talking about how we just went through and are probably still experiencing a soft coup in our nation's capital. How are we going to prevent this from happening again if we don't go after, and I mean prosecute the people that were guilty of what I would consider atrocities against the American people? And if we don't, I think people are going to lose confidence in our system and walk away, and then we really have a problem when people don't believe in the American system.
Well, Bill, you're right, and I believe I started my presentation by saying we're hanging by a thread.
Mm-hmm.
General Flynn and I discussed this on multiple occasions, and Jim has joined us. Because what we're looking at is a nation that's being torn asunder. And unless the people, and when we talk about the church, and I'm so glad Jim brought up the church, and it's not a building or a steeple, it's the people. And our forefathers understood that. And when the people stand up and say enough, and they say it loud, the elected officials will listen. If they don't, then the people have every right of recourse or redress to remove them from office. That's built into our system. What we're seeing right now is a nation that has been brought to a point where a coup was launched. It was almost successful. I don't think people realize, even to this late date, how close it came to being successful. And it's still, the tentacles are still far-reaching into many, many branches and sectors of our government. And so, unless, like you said, Bill, the people responsible are brought to justice and disciplined and or punished. Some could be disciplined and that would be appropriate, but there's a number of them that need to be punished. They need to be put in jail. And if that's not done, then I really don't have a lot of hope that this nation will survive as
well.
We've
people
known
won't
it.
Have confidence. I mean, it's one thing if you have the radical side, you know, the Antifa guys, you know, that are off the hook. But you have a whole lot of American citizens that are not like that, that don't take matters into their own hands, that believe that the system will work. And if it doesn't, that puts all those people right on the firing line. It's like, okay, so what are you going to do? You're going to sit here and watch it all blow up in your face? Or are you going to go out and make something happen? Well, then you have a huge problem.
I think that's the unknown question right now. We're still hanging to see, we're dangling, and I don't think there's an answer. There's a hope and a prayer, but I don't think there's an answer yet. And part of it may be because what Mr. Trump has done as he has brought the shadow government out of the shadows, if you will, or out of hiding, and he has put them on the forefront so people can begin to take a look at what's really been taking place for a number of years, not just the last year or two or three, but a number of years, both under Republican and Democrat. What we have are people, regardless of their political title, we have people who have subscribed to the globalization, which means the collapse of the United States as a national sovereignty, and move this country into a global community where there are no national sovereignties. You're seeing it happen in Europe. Mm-hmm. And again, here in America, if your listeners can look out their window right now, even as we're talking, now let's pause for a second. Let's just pause. It's probably a beautiful day. It's probably calm. And they're looking outside their window going, I don't see much change. Everything's kind of okay. Well, it's not. It's really not.
I'll say something to that, if I can, please. You know, we used to, and let me take it from my simple way of a macro down to the micro. I was in the Los Angeles airport this past weekend, and I was asking the TSA people that were with me, whole lines of people, I was in their international section, were sleeping in the airport, and I said, what is this? And he said, these bums are homeless. They come here, they don't cause any trouble. We don't try to rouse them or do anything.
Wow.
But look at the micro of what we've seen. We've seen globally Venezuela, and they don't want to talk about it anymore. But I'd love for you to address what's already happened in Chicago, what's happened in Los Angeles, what's happened in Seattle. Some of these major cities ran by Democrats for years. That's what we're going to see ahead on the national level with the Democrats. They've already did everything a coup-wise in their local cities, and they run from the mayor, the police commissioner, and they run the councils. And we have seen they are disasters. They're billions in arrears and their pensions and the others. So if those people living in those cities and see those tents lined up for miles, I think they're beginning to look and say, wait a minute, if it can happen here, it can happen across this nation. So just throw it back to you on that one.
Well, the mindset of the, if you will, modern Democrat Party, and again, they're not that. They're the social Democrats, socialist Democrats, or the Marxist Democrats. I mean, you've got members of Congress who come out and talk on the floor and out in public about Marxism and how they support it, and how they support doing away with our national boundaries. I mean, this is not a secret anymore. They're out very publicly talking about it. Their position is, if the Democrat is in power, in an office, they are allowed to have unlimited power over this nation, period. Put a period there. Unlimited power. Now, if you think that's a theatrical statement, when Obama was in, anything he wanted went along, they went along with. He can have his own amnesty program for aliens, illegal aliens. Nobody challenged it. He could have those cages that they put people in. Nobody challenged it. He can fine people, Americans, for not having health insurance. Nobody said anything.
Take the citizenship question off the fences.
That's right. He used the IRS as his own police force, which was scary, and he imprisoned citizens who spoke out against him or his administration. He sicked the IRS on him. He provided guns and money under Fast and Furious to cartels. He did the Iran nuclear deal. He gave away billions of dollars.
Pallets
and nobody challenged him. And he allowed an American ambassador to be dragged through the streets, and nobody challenged that either. His power was unlimited. In essence, he was a dictator, and nobody challenged it. But when a Republican gets into office, into the White House like Trump did, suddenly that president, Trump, can't do anything. There is nothing he's doing that's legal or quote-unquote constitutional. Everything that Trump's doing is illegal or extra or unconstitutional. He isn't even allowed to undo the illegal acts that Obama went ahead and imposed on this nation. He's not allowed to do that because the Democrats won't allow it. Well, that's how they want to run this country, is by dictum or by dictate, by themselves. Without any checks and balance, as an oligarchy, that's what we're heading toward. And when Trump got in, it was by God's grace that we did not have Hillary Clinton, because at this point in time, and I think I said it on your program before, here 2.5 years into Hillary Clinton presidency, I'm not sure your station would be on the air. I'm not sure we would be able to speak the way we're speaking. There would be people in jails. There would be people brought up on charges. And you saw a little smattering of that with General Flynn. The story is not totally written on General Flynn. I think when the story comes out, I think people will be stunned to see how he was set up, how the lies multiplied lies upon lies and were multiplied to the point of nobody knew who said what and when.
Sure.
And he was caught holding the bag. I think now he has a new legal counsel, and he and I talked about this yesterday or the day before. His new legal counsel, Sidney Powell, is a dynamo, and she is going to, and already has, reversed the Department of Justice and the FBI and the Mueller investigation and other investigations, and put them on notice, and has made demands that his previous legal counsel didn't. A side note here, his previous legal counsel, this is not my opinion, it's fact, was also part of the deep state. They're everywhere.
Yeah. We would love to do, literally do just a show about that. We've got to take a hard news break here. We're going to be right back with our guest, Dr. Lyle Rapacki and Jim Stockstill. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We're here at KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM.